Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends, and happy Easter. I hope you're basking in the rays, the sun, the joy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the hope of a new creation, which is at the heart of what it means to be Catholic and to live the faith, to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is the profound awareness of the centrality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. St. Augustine said, Christianity is the resurrection from the dead. It's the hope of the entire human race. Whether people have come to see it yet or not is another issue. That's part of the church's mission, is to spread that word throughout the world, to live it, to communicate it to others, but to live with the joy of salvation. You know, what is Psalm 51 that we prayed many times during Lent? Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. There really is a joy, friends, that comes from knowing, to having our minds opened, our hearts opened, and receiving the truth about the mystery of Jesus' passion, life, passion, death, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of the Father, taking with him in himself the human race. He's the head of a new race of people who've been brought from death to life and are now participating and sharing in the glory that belongs to God. It's astounding. And it's a truth that the Holy Spirit has to help us understand as we read and meditate on the scripture. What I've been talking about this week is the central message that Jesus made sure the apostles understood, and which they were faithful, even to the point of death, in proclaiming. I'm convinced that that message is blurred in many places in the church today, and we've accommodated the message of Jesus and the apostles to the culture around us. We've reduced the real potency and power of what's of first importance in the preaching and the life of the church, and we've reduced the church to an institution that's committed to doing good works, that fundamentally we're a social institution that is focused on helping improve the world that we live in. Now, the church, as I said yesterday, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can also download them on whatever device that works for you. You could go to avemaria.net as well. On their website, the programs are all available. They're all archived there. What the church, I think, is being challenged with today is, are we clear about our message? What's of first importance? I think we take things that are of secondary importance and put them first, in part because we don't want to upset people. We don't want to upset the world. We don't want to preach a message and communicate a message that people may not like or that people may disagree with, and even worse, that might cause people to not like us, to make our lives uncomfortable. But what we're going to see today is what Jesus also promised the apostles, that as they preached the gospel, as they brought the offer of the forgiveness of sins to the world and called people to the repentance of sin and to enter the waters of baptism, to become followers of Jesus, that they would experience resistance, that the resistance would be intense. Why? Because the world is fallen. And as St. John the Apostle said, the whole world is in the power of the devil. That is, there's a fallen dimension of God's good creation. There's a fallen dimension of every human heart that resists God's authority, that resists God's will and God's plan. And we don't want to obey. We don't want to follow. And we don't want to accept the diagnosis of Jesus and the diagnosis of the kingdom of what needs to happen for us ultimately to be saved and to experience eternal life. So Acts chapter 3, I touched on this a little bit last week. We have the story of Peter healing a lame beggar at the Gate Beautiful on his way into the temple. This man who had been lame from birth. There's a beautiful scene where he's always sitting by the door begging, and Peter and John come to him, and Peter looks at him and he sees Peter. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And sure enough, the healing happens. He rises in the name of Jesus. It's a very important thing. The name of Jesus is crucial. We're not just communicating generic religious values to the world. We're bringing a person. We're communicating about him. We're talking about who he is, what he said, what he did, and how he's alive today in the church. He's alive in your heart and in mine. And he is this one, Peter will say, who raised this lame man and restored him to health. Here's what Peter said, verse 11, chapter 3. While he clung to Peter, that is the man who was healed, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. They were astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? And why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk?" Put yourself in that situation. The word spread that this man, that everybody who's entered into the temple, at least in this portico for years and years, saw him, and suddenly he's walking around. And the word spreads and people come running. A miracle happened. How did this happen? And they see the man clinging to Peter and John. He's so happy. He's so amazed at these brothers. He doesn't want to leave them. But people are looking at the apostles, and Peter's saying, in all the commotion, he's saying, "Wait a minute, men of Israel. Why are you wondering at this?" Well, it would make sense because a wonder happened, right? Something that they had never seen before happen. Possibly some of them had seen Jesus perform such acts, but maybe many of them didn't. And so Peter goes on, "Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk?" Peter's very clear. The message is beginning to come out. Look, it's not us. There's nothing special about me, Peter the fisherman. Then he takes this opportunity, because people are captivated now. They're attentive. And now Peter does just exactly what Jesus told him to do. Verse 13. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus." He's tying Jesus directly to the patriarchs of the people of Israel. He's tying this experience, this healing of this man at the temple, directly to the patriarchs, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the same God. It's not a different God. It's the same God. It's the one true God. And he said, it's this God who glorified Jesus, his servant. Peter will say, by raising him from the dead, let's look at what he said, "whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead." Now think about that moment. Peter's not trying to win friends and influence people in the sense of wanting the crowd to like him. He's not proclaiming a message that's going to endear people to him. They're already excited. They're happy. They want to meet him. They're gathering around him. Tell us what's happening. And then he tells the truth, that Jesus Christ is God's unique servant. He's God's chosen one. And he has been raised to glory by God the Father, the very God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you denied him. He's accusing them. You delivered them. You delivered him up. You denied him in the presence of Pilate, the Gentile, but also before the religious leaders, when he decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One. You said you'd rather have a murderer be released and granted to you than to have God's chosen servant. So there's conviction coming upon them. Peter's accusing them. He's telling them what they actually did and why this man today was being raised and what that has to do with Jesus. He said, "You killed the author of life." He's standing before the people of Israel, and he's declaring that Jesus, Mary's son, the man from Nazareth, is the author of life. He didn't say he's one of the good prophets of our people. He was just, he was a wonder worker. He taught with such authority. He was such a good man, but now he's dead because you saw him die. In fact, you killed him. And who did you kill? The holy and righteous one, the author of life, whom God, whom your God, our God, raised from the dead. So Peter is proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the heart of what he's communicating. To this we are witnesses. Remember Jesus said in Luke 24? He said to the apostles, it was according to the scripture that the Messiah must suffer and die, and on the third day be raised from the dead. And he said, for this reason, all of this happened so that forgiveness of sins, repentance and forgiveness of sins could be preached to every nation in the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus said is the core of what has been revealed in him. And then he goes on to say to the apostles at that moment in that upper room, he said, you're my witnesses. You're witnesses to all of this. You saw it happen. And so here Peter is. We are his witnesses. We know what we saw. We know what we taught. He goes on. Verse 16, he said, and in his name, by faith in his name, has this man been made strong whom you see and know. So Peter's making it very clear. Why did this miracle happen? How did it happen? It happened through faith, through a radical surrender of trust and belief in the teaching and the person of Jesus Christ. He alone has the power to heal a man who's been lame from birth. He goes on, and the faith which is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. So how is he healed? Through faith in Jesus. Because he believed, this crippled man believed that what Peter had, the message he had about Jesus and the authority that was in him through Jesus could raise him up and heal him. Remember how Jesus loved it when people believed that he could do that, when they acknowledged who he was, they understood that he was entirely unique and he could do anything, and that they put their faith and their hope in him. And Jesus, he loved that. He encouraged it. And now the apostles are doing just exactly what Jesus said they would do. The works he did, as they preached what he preached, the works he did, they too would do. This is part of the normal Christian life. And here what's happening is the deed, the sign, is not only drawing people's attention, the extraordinary miracle, but then that miracle becomes a confirming sign of the message of what the apostles are preaching. This message burns in the heart of the apostles, the offer of salvation through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the call to repentance, leading people to baptism, bringing them into the life of the church. This is what the church exists to do, friends. And it's very confused in many parts of the church today, as I'd said earlier. It's important for us to be able to see this. And the Holy Spirit, I hope, is helping you today, helping me. I sometimes really feel the presence and power of the Holy Spirit when we're talking about the Word of God here. And I hope the Spirit of God is opening your mind and your heart to the teaching of Jesus so you too can walk in his footsteps in a more radical way. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.